The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle, live in studio, waiting to take your calls on your health. Let's try to figure out what's going on with you. You've had problems. You know what? You've tried all kinds of things, and they really haven't worked well. Well, here's an opportunity. Call me, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you on anything that happens to be happening with you relative to your health. You know, we can put you in a direction that maybe all those drugs and that potential surgery, and your doctor says, let's wait and see, and we'll watch it. I'm not sure what they're watching. But at the end of the day, you know, you're still looking down a very small, narrow tube of, this isn't working for me, and somebody's going to cut me, or I'm going to be on these pills for the rest of my life. Well, that's why we do this program, so you can not do that. You know, a few years back, I wrote a book called Ageless Health, Health is a Do-It-Yourself Program. And it was specifically for you to understand how the body really works in an intimate, integrative format. What the responsibilities are that you have, both from a structural, biochemical, and emotional platform. And we can even expand that triad a little bit and talk about, when we talk about the structural pieces, we're talking about everything from the internal to the external body. When we're talking about chemical, we're talking about chemical, electrical, and all the influences that are outside your body, anything that's exogenous, if you will, that has an impact on the internal environment. And the third piece, that emotional, we can even expand that to be the emotional, spiritual platform, because whatever you think is true for you ultimately is what your body does. You know, I constantly tell people that whatever meaning that you ascribe something, that's the meaning that exists in your brain, in your body, and how your body reacts. So as we go through, we're going to talk about those things, structural, chemical, emotional. But more importantly, I want to take it a little bit on brain health today. I want to talk about what's happening with trauma, with injury, things that you put up with. You know, we get a little older and the brain starts misfiring, dysfunctioning, and we forget why we walked into the room, or God forbid, you open up the refrigerator and you left your keys inside. You know, you walked in, you were hungry, and you opened the doors, you threw them in, and then you spend the rest of the night trying to find out what you did with the keys. That happens, and it happens for a lot of reasons. Some are just, you know, you're overwrought, you're at the end of, your capacity. But sometimes it's a prelude, it's an indicator of some other things that are quite serious, and they're not so good in the long run. So we're going to talk about that sort of implication. Second half of the program, we're going to have some fun. We're going to talk about exercise and how it affects the brain, and little bits of exercise, not a lot of exercise necessarily, but things that you can do specifically. And we're going to have a very special guest online with us that is going to discuss that, none other than Aaron Rozelle Pove, who is the operational director of Core Concepts Chiropractic by Rozelle in Ashburn, as well as an exercise physiologist, meaning that she does rehabilitation work with the patients out there and our patients that we send up to that office. She knows her stuff, obviously. There's that name, that catch piece that's kind of, you know, I said Rozelle Pove. Yeah, this is nepotistic. She's part of the family, but she really understands what's going on. So we're going to talk to her in the second half of the program for a few minutes, and she's going to give you some clues, some insights, some tips that you can move forward with on a day-to-day basis. You know, there was an article that I was looking at the other day as I'm going through trying to prepare for everything, and it was talking about brain health, and I was really kind of taken back and shocked that it had gone to the place of being in Science Daily, and it was talking about its impact, you know, talking about injury to the brain and how small injuries can cause big problems over a long period of time. We had just kind of a sidebar on this. And significant injuries, if you will. There was a guy by the name of Nick Bonaconte. He was inside linebacker for the old Boston Patriots before they became the New England Patriots. And I met this man. I was between my junior and senior year in high school and went out to an invitational camp out in Boston. And amazing human being. He was about 5'11", and the guy was awesome. He was just this, terrible impact. I mean, terrible meaning, look out, you don't want this guy to hit you, type of guy. And so here we are years later. And by the way, in between, his son had a very serious injury in college, and he speared somebody. He was also, played defensive squad and speared somebody. His head went into the opposing player's chest, and he broke his neck, and he's paralyzed today, and he spends the rest of his life now working on impact injuries and paralysis that are due to those kind of things, and brain trauma, by the way. So anyway, if you look up Nick Bonacani, and you find now that he's in his late 70s, almost 80, and he has very severe consequences, sequela, if you will, of those years playing football. He has very advanced Parkinson's disease. He has dementia at a very significant level. So when we look at traumas, in those days, they don't know what they know today. We didn't know how to handle it. There's a good friend of mine in Kansas City. His name is Dr. Evan Mladenov. Evan's been on the program with me several times over the period of years. We'll have him back on, hopefully, in the near future. And Evan spent 13 years as the doc, chiropractor, applied kinesiologist for the Kansas City Chiefs. And so his whole focus today is in concussive injury and what happens. And more importantly, the reversibility of it. I have a special interest in an area called the Renshaw cells of the spinal column and how they affect impact and body and the inflammatory pathways that can be not only impaired, but caused a what we call a recidivistic loop, if you will, that causes muscles to go into spasm constantly. So people are locked up. They can't move, but they're in pain because of it. So this brain trauma can be very, very significant or can be very minor. And we're going to try to touch that today. But going back to the article in Science Daily, it's a source for all kinds of things that are out there, but there's a non-invasive, light-sensitive recombinase for deep brain genetic manipulation. So what does that mean? So this came out of Korea, by the way. And there's a research team that said that non-invasive, light-sensitive, photoactive genetic patterns within the brain can be stimulated. They can be manipulated so that other things begin to work better than what they were prior to the intervention. This is huge relative to its movement forward because everybody's looking at the brain now. Everybody's saying, we've got to do something about this. Too many people. We see all these people that we get into our older ages and we can't do what we used to do. The body, the body has the capacity, but the signaling mechanism from the brain to the rest of the body isn't working the way it's supposed to. Those of you who are my patients, you hear me all the time. You got to exercise. You got to do something. You got to get off, and sometimes just getting up and down from the chair and walking across the room is the only exercises you can do, but you got to do it all the time and you have to add on to that. But anyway, this team in Korea presented a non-invasive, light-sensitive, photoviable, if they call it, manipulable pattern. And what they saw was that they could easily optimize function in the different, mechanical patterns within the animals that they were studying at the time. So there's a lot more that's going on, but this recombination of light signaling and then structural manipulation and so forth has probably not today, but within the next year or so, is going to be huge relative to restoration, if you will, of people who can't function. And we can take it in a couple of different areas, but I'm not going to get into the genetic maps and so forth, but let's talk about basics today. Let's talk about how to identify injury patterns. Am I hurting? Do I have an injury? Well, in our office, we do an annual brain health assessment for many of our patients. And, we know that the brain communicates to everything throughout your body through the spinal cord. And you have this huge network called your nervous system, and it connects every function in your body, right? So from cognitive function to musculoskeletal health to immune function, immune regulation, if you will, your body depends on this brain. We'll call it the command and control center, right? And everything starts there, because if I amputate your head from the body, nothing is going to work. And some of you say, well, there's not much working right now, but that's neither here nor there. We have to be opportunistic here. So when your brain works the right way, your body works the right way. So when there's communication happening from the brain down, things begin to be able to restore function. So optimal healthcare focuses on the brain-body patterns, or the brain-body connection. So we have to optimize that efficiency, and we have to do it through being aware of the things that can suppress it, but we also have to be aware of what we can do individually to make it better. So here's what we do. We look at the brain as this computer that handles memory patterns and automatic reactions. It allows your heart to work. It keeps your lungs expanding and bringing air into the body. It allows you to digest food. It controls your behavior, your emotional state, your falling in love, your falling out of love, anger patterns and so forth. All of these things are optimized because of how the brain signals the rest of your body. So wouldn't it be great to be able to control that, but more importantly, to be able to determine whether or not it's breaking down and why it's breaking down. So you can look at the brain and ask the question, why is it not firing the way it's supposed to? Why is it, if you will, not sequencing properly? Why is it not doing the job? Why is it that my head can't remember things the way it used to remember? What happened to me? And sometimes it's a bump in the head that's repetitive. I can't believe I did that type of thing. Sometimes, it's the lack of stimulation to the brain. We know the brain today is plastic. It means that it molds and it develops and it redevelops on its own. So if that's true, why do we sit down and watch the stupid tube all the time? Why do we get into habitual patterns that really create nothing for us? So if we know that the brain can be regenerated, which we do know that today, why is it that we don't do something to restore function? I'm going to leave you with that question because it's important. And we're going to talk about, does exercise help? What's the best exercise of the brain? How do you mold and increase this neuroplasticity, this remolding, this revamping, this redesigning the brain? And, if you got a little bit more physical, if you had a little bit more activity, will your memory get better? So the end piece is yes, yes, and let's see what we can do about it. But you have to be the caretaker, and you have to understand why. We're going to talk a little bit about omega fatty acids. We're going to talk about DHA. We're going to talk about GABA, serotonin, all those things that affect the brain and why they break down, why they're not working the way they're supposed to. It's important that you get this, because we're getting into a society, I'm afraid, on the day-to-day basis, well, because of all the patients that I see, that everything from our cognitive flexibility, the way we process information, the ability to pay attention, we're getting more and more people that are totally ADD, ADHD, and they weren't that way before. A lot of that has to do with those devices and the computer systems that you're on all the time. Time and things are flying. We're going to talk more about that when we come back. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. I'm in studio. Call me, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you on anything you have in mind. We're talking about your brain and how it works and how it's not working probably the way that it should be working. Second half of the program, we're going to talk a little bit about exercise that you can do on your own. Aaron Rozelle Poe, somebody who's near and dear to my heart, who's also a very extraordinary exercise rehabilitation expert, is going to be on. She's going to talk to us a little bit about exercise that you can do. She is the operational head of Core Concepts Chiropractic by Rozelle. She runs that practice with her husband, Dr. Leonard Poe. And we're going to kind of pick from a lot of different areas. And within the next couple of weeks or two, we're going to have Dr. Evan Mladenov on, and who is a specialist in concussive patterns. He's out of Kansas City and good friend, one of my best peeps, as they go to say, over, you know, 38 years or so. But anyway, we're going to talk about that. So what I want you to know is the brain's affected by a lot of different things. But if I had a list for you, the top seven, I would talk about malnutrition of the brain, getting the wrong things in or not getting enough of the right things. You got to make sure that your protein levels are up, but proteins that are usable, not going to the fast food restaurants and grabbing that stuff, because that stuff doesn't work. You know what your best usable food protein is? Eggs. But you can't fry them. You have to eat them poached, you have to eat them hard-boiled, or you have to eat them soft-boiled, and preferably soft-boiled or poached. Then you have the most usable protein. When you cook them that way, there's something called biotinase in it that locks the proteins down and allows you to use it at the highest level. But malnutrition, if you're not getting enough nutrients in your body, if you're not getting enough proteins, you're not getting enough mineralization in your body, all of those things can be detrimental to your body's ability to think, if you will, your brain's function. And we're also talking, you have to understand there are two forms of the brain, right? There's the brain, and then there's the second brain, which is your intestinal tract. So anything that causes inflammatory reactions to the gut, to the intestinal system, is going to affect that computer that sits between the confines of your two earlobes and make that work. The other is lack of sleep. We are on a treadmill, particularly in the metropolitan areas, and we're going, or on the tube. And by the way, falling asleep in front of the television is not sleeping, because you're getting constant stimulation. Even though that you're passed out, what's happening is there's a little gland called the pineal gland that can't work as long as the lights are on and you're being stimulated. So what happens is every hormonal pattern and every neurotransmitter in your body is being mitigated in some way. So you've got to sleep. You've got to sleep in an absolutely black room, right? And it's got to be slightly cool. Stresses. You know, if I asked you on a 0 to 10 basis, what's your stress level like? A lot of you say, well, you know, just normal, right? Normal. Well, the thing that is you've learned to put that stress in your back pocket and you're running around, and stress is a killer because it causes all those other things that we're so afraid of. But more importantly, stress will destroy your brain over a long period of time, and it won't allow you to do what you have to do as quickly as you need to get in injury patterns. Small injuries, big injuries. We talked a little bit about an old friend of mine, Nick Bonacani, and I say friend because I met him even after I was invited to that camp. And, you know, he was an amazing man, but here he is today, a vegetable, basically, not able to function. And, you know, that's because of all the trauma they took. And that's why we have such concern over these guys in the NFL anymore. Lack of stimulation. How many of you just totally shut down? You know, Jeff and I were kidding around at the break and saying that, you know, brain's not sharp like it used to be because I don't memorize things. I don't study like I used to. I don't take on new courses. If you want to do something to stimulate your brain and remodel it and reformat it, go learn something that you didn't learn before. Go learn a language. Even though you can say, oh, I don't do languages. Well, great. Do it anyway. And you'll be surprised that stimulation, how it works. Lack of exercise, which we're going to talk about in the next part of the program. You need to exercise. You need to get off your butt and go do something, you know, walk and walk upstairs and so forth. Well, my back hurts me. Well, so what? You know, go do it slowly. Go get treated. Come to our office. Get that back taken care of. Do something that is supportive of that situation. And then, unfortunately, you know, there's the electrical input from all of our computers and our devices and the cell towers and the microwaves and all those things, and driving around in your car and the input of that and the Bluetooth technology, which, by the way, if you have a hearing aid that is Bluetooth, I hate to tell you, but you're frying your brain, because that stuff is not okay. Look it up. There's all kinds of warnings. Even your cell phones. Now, you have a little black box. If you read through all the paper that they give you when you buy your cell phone, at the bottom, it's going to tell you that, you know, guess what? We're warning you. We're not saying it is. We're not saying it isn't. But we're warning you it could have very serious detrimental effects. So think about it. Think about, you know, feeding and eating properly, the sleep you don't get, the stress patterns, the injuries that have occurred over a period of time, the lack of stimulation to your brain to learning something, lack of exercise that you don't get, and we're going to fix that in a few minutes. And then the input from all of your devices that you're constantly in front of, that you don't get away from, that you are unwilling to put down, and God forbid I took them from you, you'd lose your mind. We're coming up to the break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about exercise. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. I'm in studio, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. That's how you find me, right here, right now. And when you want to talk to one of our docs, when we're not here, all you have to do is go to RozelleCare.com. That's RozelleCare.com. RozelleCare.com. Or simply call 703-698-7117 and tell our staff that you got a question and you'd like to have somebody talk to you, and we'll make sure that happens. Somebody will give you a call back and they'll answer your question. Promise you that we're going to talk a little bit about exercise and brain function and how that works and why you should be doing it. And if you didn't do anything else to take care of yourself, that if you want your nervous system to work the way it's supposed to, then this is one of the pieces that you have full control over, whether you're in a wheelchair, whether you're on a walker, or whether you're totally functional. It doesn't matter, but you got to stimulate that nervous system. And I said to do that, we're going to talk to an expert, somebody who is near and dear to my heart. And hi, Aaron.
Hey, Dad. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. We're going to be talking about the brain. And,
yes,
you know, on a day-to-day basis up at Core Concepts Chiropractic, you deal with patients and we send them up to you and you're doing rehabilitation. So the thing that is that we know that the brain and the body is plastic. It acts upon those things that we do to it or in some ways don't do to it. So, you know, what do you notice with your patients relative to how exercise affects their capacity to learn things, their capacity to have, you know, better balance, coordination, neurological, and so forth? What, you know, give us a little insight, and I'm going to ask you, you know, what can our listeners do?
So the biggest thing that I start to see actually happens as soon as somebody turns 30 years old. 30 is kind of like that magic number of the body where all of a sudden your balance, your coordination, even your memory function starts to decrease. And at 30 is also when you get that shift to the metabolism that, you know, every decade usually is when weight starts tracking on with people. But the biggest thing that I see that I help, I mean, like I said, from 30 on up is really with the balance and the coordination and even just the memory function that happens as well. You see a lot more with the brain fog or the forgetfulness happening. And the other piece that comes in is people hit 30 and they decide that for some reason they don't need to exercise as much as they do when they were younger. And I still am baffled by this concept. I would think it should be the reverse. You need to exercise more as you get older to kind of combat all these things that happen as you age, specifically to the brain. I mean, there's a sad fact out there that less than 40% of adults 65 and older don't exercise. And I kind of see
that's,
that.
That's like, huge. That's amazing to me.
Yeah. I'm like, 65 is really not that old if you think about it.
Thank you.
And people are just, they're not exercising, which, you know, you tie that into the degeneration of the brain with the Alzheimer's that's happening left and right and the dementia. Well, you know, it's tied together because without exercise, you are restricting blood flow and oxygen to the brain. It's as simple as that. And then if you're not doing exercises to actually stimulate the synapses of the brain, well, then you're going to lose balance, memory function, and coordination. So, I mean, again, our bodies are designed to move from the moment we're born to the moment our life ends. And there should be no reason that process stops.
Aaron, let me ask you a question. You know, we sent you patients all the time, you know, for many different things, rehabilitation and core and so forth. But one of the things that we have very specific interest in making sure that our patients can do is get their balance back. And, you know, as we get older, the thing that we see is because of loss of core, because of loss of activity, because of a lot of things, is that they don't have the coordination when they're on their feet that they used to. They're afraid. They're getting timid. Their body begins to break down. Those are the long tracks of the spinal cord, if you will.
Right.
What do you see, you know, number one, let's just talk about, can that be fixed? Can that be resolved with virtually anybody?
Yeah, absolutely, Dad. That's actually what you hear a lot when I'm working with people is, you know, I don't understand, or the key term is I get afraid to take a step because I don't know where my foot is going to land. I hear that almost every day that I'm in the office. And what they're talking about is what's called proprioception awareness. It's the little brain-body connection that happens as you decrease. And that ties right into that balance of coordination. And you can do some of these exercises either standing, sitting, lying on your back. But the whole idea is you want to reproduce an over-exaggerated cross-crawl motion. There's specific exercises out there like the bird dog or the dead bug, but they're designed to...
Okay, so bird dog, dead bug, cross-crawl, just for definitions for our audience. First, we'll deal with the cross-crawl. Cross-crawl, for our listeners, so you know what she's talking about, is the coordination of right arm, left leg, left arm, right leg as you're walking. It's a normal walking gait. And if you watch people walk, many people don't walk that way. They either have one side that's more retarded or they're walking in a homolateral gait where one side of their body is working, you know, harder than the other side. And I'll let you explain the rest of it.
Yeah, so that's exactly right, Dad. And so what you're trying to do is, like, if you take the bird dog example, you're literally on all fours, your hands and knees. And the objective with this exercise is you're going to extend one arm straight out in front of you, and then the opposite arm or the opposite leg out behind you. And then from there, you're literally going to contract your abdominal core and bring your elbow and your knee together, and then extend the arm and the leg back out to the starting position. And you're going to want to do this on both sides of the body. What you're doing, again, is you are starting to stimulate the core muscles, which are essential for balance just in general. But then at the same time, because it is that specific cross-crawl motion, you are starting to stimulate brain function.
That's basically what a baby does.
Well, that's just it. That's why, you know, when you hear these parents say, well, my child skipped the crawling phase and went right to walking, I'm like, get them on the ground and get them crawling. They've got to develop that synapse, that firing of the brain, because ultimately it's going to lead to some long-term issues of the child and ultimately the adult. So let's say, for an example, I have somebody come in, let's say late 40s, early 50s, and they're not completely sedentary, but they're not as active as they used to be, and balance and coordination is something that we have to work on. They've seen a BOSU, and that's that half-domed, flat surface equipment piece that I use a lot. You know, they say, oh yeah, I stood on that. And all of a sudden they get on it and they're falling off of it. One of the things I have them do is either that over-exaggerated, like you mentioned, that cross crawl, or I have them get down on all fours if they can and do the bird dog. And immediately you see their balance get that much better. It happens that quickly.
Erin, so you get one of your patients that we sent up, they can't get on the floor. They have a difficult time. You know, one of the things that we've had them do is we've had them, if they have a staircase, we have them cross, crawl, walk up the staircase from, you know, getting on their hands and knees and doing that, not stepping up there, but using their arms and their feet and their knees to pull themselves up. Will that work for somebody who has a much more difficult time getting down, where they're afraid of trying to get themselves back up? Because you'll hear patients say, if I get down, I'll never get up again.
That's absolutely correct. And actually what I'll do in those situations is I'll have them sit in the chair and do the motion, because 9 times out of 10, they can get themselves out of a chair. Or they can even do this one in their bed. So first thing in the morning while they're laying on their back, they can actually simulate the same motion just laying on their back in bed. So there are ways to tweak this motion so it's accommodating every demographic out there.
That's the important piece is people need to realize that no matter what their condition is, whether they're sitting and they can't get up, it's difficult, they shuffle and so forth, that's all neurologically based. It's their brain not coordinating with the rest of their body. And if you get them to exercise a little bit properly, all of a sudden everything starts working again. Their body has a better expression of function and capacity, but also their memory begins to enhance. Erin, if you had to advise somebody on the best form of exercise for brain memory, what would you tell them to do?
So the best forms of exercise out there to enhance brain memory, that's going to be your aerobic exercises, but also some of your strength-bearing exercises. The whole concept behind that is anything that is going to elevate the blood flow and oxygen levels, or essentially raise your heart rate in your body. Because bottom line, as your heart rate goes up, the O2 levels go up, the blood pumps harder, and that is literally like first aid for your brain. You're creating more of a healthy environment within your body. And I usually set people up, especially my beginners who haven't even looked at exercise in years, I say make it a goal of yourself for just 20 minutes a day, not even the full 30. 20 seems to be less intimidating to a lot of people, which is why I picked that number. Plus, it's more attainable. They hear 20, they're like, okay, I can handle that. So I tell them, set their goals, 20 minutes a day, start by walking. You know, if they can do two steps, then walk and do two steps. If they can climb a flight of stairs, well, walk, climb that flight of stairs. Anything to start increasing heart rate. I also tell people if they sit all day for work, everybody has an iPhone or a smartphone these days. Set your timer for it to go off every hour for you to get up and literally take, you know, 2 minutes of a walk around your desk, around the office hallway, something to increase the oxygen and blood flow of the body that's ultimately going to help with the brain function. It's no different than a kind of bring you down memory lane, Dad, when you had me get up early that morning before my SATs and get on the stationary bike to wake up.
You still remember that,
huh? The whole idea was to increase blood flow to my brain before I went in there to take the test.
Yeah, we had different ways of parenting. So, you know, when it comes to exercise, have you noticed that people who are really down and out, meaning people who have either been injured, they've had serious injury and blows to the body, or they've done nothing for so long, now their body will do absolutely nothing, that they can incrementally, slowly, you know, people want, they want results overnight, but virtually going back to the question I asked you early on, can anyone see changes and shifts that are markable and are recordable that they can say, oh, look how well I've done. And if they did a cognitive test then, did a cognitive test now, that there would be a difference. And even, even people who are, let's talk about people who are ADD, ADHD. That's a brain function problem. And how does exercise affect that?
So, yeah, I mean, bottom line, age is merely a number. People kind of notice kind of hide behind the whole age piece. Like they say, I'm 70, I can't exercise. That's a false statement. Again, your body is designed to move, but it's designed to move to the level that you're able to. And that's where finding the right person to work with you is essential. But if you've got somebody who is having significant issues with the brain, with the functioning of the brain, and let's say they can't get out of a chair to do anything, they can sit in the chair and do these exercises. They can even play games with their brain where they take their non-dominant hand and they start doing the same activities that their dominant hand would do. Yes, those all count as exercises for the brain. You see that actually help kids with some learning issues as well, because it's usually where they have the deficiencies in certain areas of your brain. You take a child who's ADD or ADHD and you take away their recess or their PE, you're not going to be able to control that child. You give them more exercise time where they can go and run and really increase that blood flow and that circulation to the brain, you're going to see a ADHD child or an ADD child actually sit and be compliant in class. In fact, in Texas, they've proved this study. It came out about a year ago that they had a magic quote-unquote cure for ADD and ADHD, and all they did was add extra recess to these kids' curricular day.
It's called exercise, and we all need to be doing it on a day-to-day basis, a little bit of something all the time. But you know, ADD runs in my brain from the time I was very young, and the thing that saved me is that I was so active. I was outside. I was doing. I played sports year around the clock, and I was able to function. And subsequently, you know, things became a very smooth trail for me. But so many people get stuck and they get isolated, and they go into depression. And because of that depression, they do less than what they were doing before. And, you know, it's a catch-22. Aaron, you have a website that people can watch you do some of the things that you normally do. What is that website?
So it's on Facebook. It's called The Tangible Body, The Spiritual Soul. And I do. I post little clips of exercise up there. I post nutritional tips. You know, little health advice pieces. Basically, it's based on real material. Nothing gimmicky, no gadgets required. It's really just the raw facts about how you can apply basic nutrition and exercise principles to your own health And a lot of times in my videos, I do the modifications as well as lengthy explanations as to why you're doing the exercise. I think that's so important because a lot of people will see exercises. They're like, well, that's great, but what's this doing for me? The why is always important because people want to know. It's their body, and they have a right to know why they're doing certain things.
Erin, what's that Facebook site again?
It's called The Tangible Body, The Spiritual Soul.
I've watched them all the time. Obviously, they come on because I get a feed from your site, and they are really amazing. And you take it through very slowly. You show people exactly what they can do. You can show the outcome, and not to do that. Here's something, you know, that you can do. There's no cost. Go in there, take a look at it. She's posting all the time, and if you have any questions, you can always get a hold of her as well. Erin, thank you. I appreciate the time. I know you got the boys today, and I'll see you later.
Yeah, you go.
Okay, take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's, you know, people have to understand those little things that they can do on a day-to-day basis. And if you pay a little attention, get up and walk, get up and move, do a little exercise, do crosswalk coordination sitting in a chair, you know, get your hands to move differently, stress your mind a little bit, meaning learn something new that you haven't done before, start working puzzles, word games, things of that nature, your brain will start firing, perhaps like it was a whole long time ago and you didn't think it was reversible. We're coming up to a break. This has been a fun program, and obviously somebody near and dear to my heart gave us a lot of data. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You've been listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle live, as you do every Sunday at high noon on the Eastern Seaboard. Thank you for those who are listening in other parts of the country. We appreciate everything that you said about the program and that it's great. And, you know, we have helped you in many different ways. Well, we're going to continue to do that as long as we have a microphone in a free country and we can tell you all kinds of wonderful things. And like today, you know, little things that you can do to affect your life. It's called exercise, and you don't have to be an athlete to do it. We're talking about little things outside of what you normally do on a day-to-day basis, getting your foundation back. You know, so many people have suffered brain injury, brain trauma, and they have cognitive function declines, and they have balance declines and loss of strength. And it's just, you know, you buy into, what do I expect for my age? Well, you should expect a resolution of your injuries and your problems and so forth, because now you have more time to work on them. Think about that. You know, you didn't have time before when you're working, right? Now you have time if you're working. Those of you who are, you know, in the day-to-day, you have to pick little moments of the day to do little things for yourself that are outside the normal pathway, like getting up out of your seat, walking around, stretching, breathing, walking the staircases, going, you know, to the farthest spot in the parking lot and walking to the store, not getting up as close as you can for Rockstar parking, but getting out further so you can get a little stretch, a little exercise. And then those bags become your weights, and that increases your heart rate. Little things. You know, if you're sitting down, get up. If you find it difficult to get up, then that's your exercise. If it's bothering you, then you need to do that about 30 times a day. And I didn't say all at once. I'm saying twice now, twice later, a little bit more later on. Just get yourself up. Walk. Even if you can't walk upstairs, you have a bedroom that's downstairs, go up 4 steps and then come down 4 steps. Do little things, but do something. Do not become a vegetable in your own environment, because you're going to pay the consequences, the price, and then, you know, it's a really bad situation. We talked a little bit on the early program about, you know, what happens when, you know, you don't exercise. What happens when you eat the wrong things? Well, there's a lot of different chemistries that begin to go astray, and, you know, we're talking about the essential fatty acids, DHEA, all these things that help you concentrate and learn, as well as the exercise pieces. So when we see omega fatty acids, the right kind, and by the way, so much of your omega fatty acids out there are junk, but they, just doing that piece will increase your cognitive capacity up to about 7-8%, but more importantly, it stops the cognitive decline. So there's a way of measuring that, and we do that in our practice. It's a very simple test. It's called brain span, and we can do that in conjunction with neurotransmitter tests. And you come through our nutrition department and have your nutrition evaluated and have the test run. There's a lot that can be done. Sometimes it's repetitive persistence of injury. If your body's hurting all the time and you're not doing anything to modify it other than taking drugs, which makes things worse, guess what happens? Your body begins to neurologically not function at the level that it should be able to function at. So you have to identify the structural piece. You have to identify the stress piece. You have to identify the biochemical piece. And when you do little things on each one of those sides of the triad, life begins to turn itself around. It's incredible what happens when people really dedicate themselves to themselves and really understand that, you know, the foods are not necessarily the most qualitative things when you're going into Mickey D's and other places like that. It's not necessarily the most supportive, you know, when you're taking your car to go to here, you're taking the elevator up the stairs, or you're sitting in your chair all day long. It's not as supportive as it should be when you haven't had the tools to stop and relax and calm the brain and sleep properly and so forth. All those things are necessary, but you can turn this machine around. I've seen it for coming on 42 years. There's no reason that you can't do it. We're coming up to that part of the program. I'll see you next week, and don't forget, I love you all. Bye.